Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
On DAB+, online, via the TalkSport app, and on your smart speaker. This is Fight Night Extra on TalkSport 2.
If you love your boxing and MMA, this is the show for you. Fight Night Extra with myself, Adi Oladipo, and the great Gareth A. Davis. Today, we're going to be discussing one of the most interesting fighters in the heavyweight division, former UFC heavyweight champion Francis Ngannou. He was cage side this weekend in Saudi Arabia to watch his current MMA promotion, the PFL. But will we ever see him in the octagon again? Or, and I think this is true, is he set for a run in boxing's blue ribbon division? Ngannou's next fight is, of course, against Anthony Joshua. We are going to hear from his new trainer, Ben Davison. He's been speaking exclusively with Gareth A. Davis ahead of the showdown on March 8th. We'll also talk the future of a certain Canelo Alvarez. His widely reported fight with Jamal Charlo is now off. And the talk is he could now face fellow Mexican Jaime Munguia on Cinco de Mayo weekend. Plus, we're going to discuss another fight for Jake Paul this weekend, as well as Amanda Serrano. The pair both fighting in Puerto Rico this weekend. Lots to go through, as always, in the next hour or so. This is Fight Night Extra on TalkSport 2.
I don't know how the cards are going to fall. My prediction is that I will beat Stipe Miocic. My prediction is that I will beat Tom Aspinall and Francis Ngannou. So the way that it unfolds is really not my business. My job is just to do what I've always done since day one.
People have said about interim fights, because me and Kate have an interim fight next. Personally, I think that's a bad move for both me and Katie.
We've got a chance to have a look. Not to say that we know that he's going to go about the fight the exact same way, but I do think if he's more aggressive, Anthony Joshua is a fantastic counterpuncher. I think if he's more aggressive, there's a chance he gets clipped.
Gareth A. Davis, how are you, sir?
I'm very well indeed, thank you.
Gareth, I have to start with this. Before I ask you what you've done all week, I have to start with this. I got a very angry DM. Someone was listening to the show, and they're like, Ade, you and Gareth are an absolute disgrace. You didn't speak about Ilia Topuria a lot. So I think we need to give him his... Because you're right, it was my fault. I led, and then I started talking about the future of UFC, blah, blah, blah. So I think we do need to spend about a minute now just giving Topuria his plaudits. Obviously beat Volkanovski. He's now a UFC featherweight champion. Originally from Georgia, grew up in Spain. They absolutely love him in Spain. Let's give him his plaudits now, Gareth.
Yeah, I mean, I picked him to win anyway. I thought he would do... I thought he had the kryptonite to beat Volkanovski.
Yeah.
You know, he's a good champion. I think they'll probably give the opportunity for Volkanovski to have another go at him. Volkanovski dominated the featherweight division from 2019 until now, till last weekend or the weekend before last. And obviously two losses at lightweight in that time have put a bit of age on him, on the great Australian fighter. And yeah, I think it's a rematch will be there. Topuria can prove it the second time. He's a great, skillful young fighter. He was aping a lot of the mannerisms and the challenges that Conor McGregor put out there in the past.
Yeah.
And good luck to him. I think he's a great champion. Long may he reign.
It's good as well to see a new market. Obviously, I mentioned that he's from Georgia, but grew up in Spain. So many of the Spanish footballers are getting behind him. He was paraded in the game recently between Sevilla and Real Madrid. And a lot of those Real Madrid superstars with massive followings were giving him plaudits as well. And it's a market, that Spanish market, that UFC hasn't ever touched really before. So this is good for them.
Yeah, Spain is not a big fight country. Mm. It's had, you know, some great stars. Sergio Martinez lived there, of course. And
Kiko Martinez as well.
Kiko Martinez. A lot of Martinez's.
Yeah.
A lot of South Americans and Latin Americans and Central Americans have gone to Spain and adopted Spain. It's a football culture. Mm. It's a big soccer culture, of course. So it's great to see that happening. And also it's not replete with MMA gyms,
yeah.
But what Ilia Topuria has done, to give him his biggest credit, he'll have created a market there for the UFC, and that's brilliant. If we can get an event in Madrid at some point, that would be amazing.
There you go, to the man that sent me the angry DM. We are listening and reading the DMs, and there you go. There's your 2 minutes to give plaudits to Topuria. All right, Gareth, as I did last week, and I think it's quite a good thing, this, because you are such a busy man. So tell me, since we last spoke last Tuesday, what have you been up to all week?
Had I already been to Frank Warren's office at that point?
I don't think that was part of it, no.
No, I went and had an amazing sit-down, talked to Frank Warren about his drawing skills, his pet dog, his different things of Frank, a kind of lifestyle interview, Frank. That was amazing. He's got some incredible art as well in his office. Great to see him. Since then, I've caught up with George Hilliard, George Hit Hard,
mm-hmm.
an amazing story, which will be going out hopefully on TalkSport later in the week. But also, I've done a YouTube interview with him. And obviously, he was signed at Leighton Orient, then Barry Hearn signed him as a boxer. He was managed by the Mayweathers. Incredible story, up and down, George. Incredible stuff. Then I chatted to Ben Davison and Thomas Carty at the Ben Davison Performance Centre, and spoke to Thomas Carty, by the way, about being with Tyson Fury, sparring him the moments before he boxed the Croatian who cut his eye. Now Thomas Carty's back sparring with Anthony Joshua at the Ben Davison Performance Centre. An amazing catch-up with Ben, Lee Wiley, and Barry, one of the other coaches there, and Lee Woods.
Sorry to cross you very quickly. Is Thomas Carty, no Carty, no party. Is Thomas Carty still with Dillian White? Is he still managed?
Yeah, he is. He told me about it. Yes, he is.
Yeah, okay.
And he's hoping to get out on the undercard of Taylor Cameron 3, which we believe is May the 25th, in Ireland. It's not announced properly yet. Caught up with Lee Wood there. Then I caught up with Joe Joyce.
You did all this in a week.
In a week, yeah. I caught up with Joe Joyce talking about sparring Francis Ngannou and how he thinks Zhili Zhang and Joseph Parker will go. And obviously he's fought both of those guys. Two losses to Zhili Zhang and also to a defeat of Joseph Parker. And then this morning, before we recorded our show, I was live online very early this morning with Dewey Cooper. To catch up on how Francis Ngannou is getting on in camp. And that was fascinating as well. And I think this is going to be a really close fight.
Right.
The closer we get, the closer I think this fight is going to be. Because I've rewatched Fury and Ngannou now. And, we are in for a treat, I think, next Friday.
We certainly are. Look at that. Perfect segue there, as we are up to date now. And Gareth, for those that are watching as opposed to listening, Gareth's win, Battle of the Baddest top, which is obviously October 20th. There you go, October 20th. It was Tyson Fury versus Francis Ngannou. March 8th, not too long to go. Myself and Gareth will be heading out to Saudi in a few days. It is obviously Francis Ngannou versus Anthony Joshua. Before we get to that, Gareth, let's quickly talk about Francis Ngannou being in Saudi Arabia. Ringside, it was so good to see him, John Jones and Mike Tyson. And I actually put a tweet out saying, in their peaks, if three men enter a room, who comes out? And the responses were fascinating. So many said John Jones. They said John Jones and his peak would double leg take down both of them, elbows, everything. Who comes out, Gareth?
Mike Tyson. I don't even have to think about it. Because he'd be on them straight away. And it'd be bing, bang, boom, bing, bang, boosh. Clouds and then out like a cartoon character through the window or through the door.
Yeah,
three men enter, one man leaves. Mike Tyson.
Mike Tyson. I go Mike. He goes John. So I go John. He goes Mike. Ngannou, cage side. There's been a lot of discussion about Ngannou, whether or not he will return to the PFL. Obviously signed to the PFL. No fight yet. He was there to watch the fight between Bader and Ferreira. Ferreira absolutely destroying Ryan Bader. What's your gut feeling? Does he stay in this boxing landscape and take on, there's so many contenders now, Zhang, Parker, Deontay Wilder, yeah, and make bucket loads of money? Or does he have that fight that all MMA fans are desperate to see him in the PFL?
I spoke to Dewey Cooper about that. And yeah, they said,
he's
look,
the man. He's the man to talk to. Yeah,
he is. But he said, we're tunnel visioned at the moment on all options are there. We're tunnel visioned on Anthony Joshua at the moment. Nothing more than Anthony Joshua matters. And I do believe them. I don't think they're mapping anything out. They're going to wait for the performance and the outcome, Addy, to make their decisions on it. Now, my view, if he beats Anthony Joshua, he'll be fighting Tyson Fury next. Mm. Because he'll be, or Alexander Usyk. I think Fury beats Usyk, so I think it'll be Fury Ngannou 2 for the undisputed title if he beats Anthony Joshua.
It's a big if.
It is a big if, but there's lots of little ifs floating around it as well.
Oh, God.
Just go back and see what he did against Tyson Fury. Go and look at his boxing
You know skills. I'm Team AJ, so it's tough for me.
You can't be Team AJ. It doesn't matter. But people win and lose in our sport. Listen, I don't... I have the same admiration for Tyson Fury if he loses to Alexander Usyk. I have the same admiration for Francis Ngannou if he gets knocked out in 30 seconds by Anthony Joshua. I have the same admiration for Francis Ngannou if he beats Anthony Joshua on points over 10 rounds. They're all amazing characters. They're at the top of their sports. Unfortunately, everybody wants us to critique and give tight opinions on them at the moment. Anything can happen with these big guys in the ring. We see it over and over again. I haven't answered your question, which is, I think if Ngannou loses to Anthony Joshua, I think we might well see him fight for the Bellator stroke PFL title this year. But if he wins, we might see him wait. But he may not as well. What Dewey was pointing out was, and Dewey's been with him for, I think, about 6 or 7 years now, eight. Is MMA is a very different discipline to go back to. So to mix and match is a difficult thing to do.
Yeah.
So I think if he's successful in boxing, he'll stay in it. Because I think the PFL will be very patient with him anyway. But
What a player, really. No, indeed. A player in both, right? I mean, he's incredible. An incredible human being. And hopefully, what I'm desperate to see, and I do a lot of the sit-down interviews, but I will certainly defer to you if DAZN were ever to ask me. I'm desperate to see you do a long sit down with him. I mean, I'm talking hour and a half, like really just get into
off the cuff, a deep off the cuff, narrow and deep.
Not one where you know there's someone touching your shoulder saying, "Oh, you need to wrap." A proper long sit down interview. Yeah. You know, can I quickly? Obviously, look, His Excellency Turki Alşaykh has done some incredible things, right? I think one of the most incredible things that I really hope he could do, and I know it's going to be difficult, but we've seen Eddie and Frank get together, is mend the relationship between Dana and Francis. And the reason I say that is because I still want to see Francis versus John Jones. If he is going to come back, and this is no disrespect to Ferreira, but we don't really want it. We want to see Ngannou John Jones. And again, His Excellency has done some incredible things in the last 6-7 months. This would be incredible to mend that relationship between Dana and Francis and allow UFC versus PFL event with those two headlining would be sensational.
His Excellency the Minister, Turki Alşaykh, is the most powerful man in combat sports. It's not Dana White. It's not Eddie Hearn. It's not Frank Warren. It's not Bob Arum. It's no one else. He is, Turki, as some people call him, is the most powerful man in combat sports. There's no question about it. He's got the clout, the knowledge, the team, the wherewithal, the desire and the determination to get it all done. We saw that when he dealt in 24 hours, 26 hours with the problem with Tyson Fury's eye and he got them all back on course. My understanding, Addy, I don't know if you know this, is that fight between Ngannou and Joshua, Joshua and Ngannou, was signed, or at least ready and agreed by 4 a.m. after Day of Reckoning. Do you know that?
Yeah.
Did you know that?
No, I didn't know. I knew it was the day after, but I didn't know it was that quick.
Yeah, it was like meeting now. Let's get this done. I think I agree with you, and I'm going to examine body language here on Saturday night. I was always picking John Jones to best Francis Ngannou, but the way that Francis has grown in stature and confidence, and I just feel I've never picked against John Jones. But I think he could have real problems against Francis.
That's slightly different. I thought you were going to go all in there. You kind of stalled the car there.
I know. I can't. I'm never going to say that John Jones is going to get really bested because he's too skillful and too clever and too in the moment.
Yeah.
But that fight is closer than I ever thought it was going to be because Francis has come on so much as a person. And like you say, and I'll go back to what you said just now. I would love to do that 90-minute deep one with him where I don't go with any notes. I know his story anyway. And all you do is take it narrow and deep over every channel he digs out of the sand mine as we're talking, you explore. Because he doesn't find it easy to talk about it. Do you know that?
Nope.
He's traumatized.
Nope,
and it would enrich him to talk about that trauma as well. Not in a fight week, not in a... he's a very special human being.
I loved
seeing him on Saturday night, and I loved seeing Mike Tyson there, and I loved seeing John Jones there. PFL, well done, by the way. I'm doing a bit of work with them later this year as well. You know, with their European events. Great to be on board with them again. And I think they did a great job out there. But they were having problems with the Bellator guys at one point, weren't they, till they got to the heavyweights?
Of course. And they're going to, aren't they? The Bellator guys are incredible. Like a lot of people say, is UFC Bellator? But obviously PFL are jumping up right now. So
What's your take on what Francis will do? I'm basing that on my chat with Dewey and what I think
about... With regards to AJ?
Yeah.
I remember someone asked me my prediction percentage-wise. And I said, look, prior to the Fury fight, I gave Francis Ngannou 5% chance against Tyson Fury just because he's a big guy. That was literally it. After watching him against Fury, I still obviously will have to favor AJ because he is the boxer, if you like, right? Unified heavyweight champion of the world. I give him a 25% chance against AJ, which is quite high considering this will only be his second ever professional boxing match. And AJ, as we've seen, has got a lot better under Ben Davison. I am, from wanting to see an AJ Fury fight, I am a bit nervous for AJ going into this one just because I do think mindset in boxing is key in these fights. And I mean, what Ngannou's got between the ears is just unbreakable. You're never ever going to tell a man who's been through what he's been through that you can't win. And I think he walks into the ring. He walks around, and it's funny, I said this on my channel. I said, he walks around like he knows that he can absolutely kill every human being on planet Earth. Like, he knows that I am the toughest man in the room. And that's saying something, knowing that you literally, there is not a man on planet Earth that he is scared of. And that there is quite frightening. So look, you never know, but I will say that AJ should get this done. I think he
should. He should.
Yeah. Should, right? Should. Very quickly, before we move on from that event, Clarissa Shields obviously had... Was it a third fight? It is a third fight, isn't it, in MMA? Did she win, did you think?
Yeah, she won, but she was pushed. But she's always going to be pushed. She's got great tenacity on the feet. She's not there with the ground game yet. But she was good on the night. She's an incredible character to put herself through it, Frank. Doesn't need to.
Yeah.
But I like it. She wants to challenge herself, and we've got to admire these people in our sport that want to challenge themselves over and over again. And we'll get into that with Canelo, I'm sure, at some point today.
Yeah. Why, final one, why is she doing it? I mean, like, you got her and Savannah Marshall that have both entered this, right? And look, credit to both, as you say, when really and truly, we wouldn't mind seeing them two just get it on again in the boxing world. Why are they doing this? aside from the obvious, which is, you know, you get paid well, but why, apart from that, what's the reason?
Well, I mean, the fact she's a bounty hunter in fight sports is one thing, and, you know, she's a prize fighter and she's after the money. And also she's got an incredibly strong deal with the PFL that she'd never have got with the UFC, because she's got that 50% share if she, you know, promotes her events with them and goes big. You know, and the fact she, you know, chose Holly Holm and John Jones and Winklejohn Jackson to go and train at. She is a human being. I mean, I first met her when she was 16 and won the Olympic gold in London, you know, and she was a sulky, sour, difficult 16-year-old to interview at the time. And she has emerged into quite an extraordinarily beautiful, beautiful person, and very, very tough, and on that track where she is going to change the world, and she is doing it. And that's why she's doing MMA. She doesn't have to do it at all. She just wants to prove that historically she's going to be one of the greatest female athletes ever to take part in sports.
Yeah, she's probably already that, and on her way to become one of the greatest, if not the greatest. All right, you're listening to Fight Extra on TalkSport 2. Still to come, we are going to discuss what the future holds for Canelo Alvarez. His fight with Jamal Charlo is off, and it's like he's leaving PBC as well. And we'll talk this weekend's action in Puerto Rico. Both Jake Paul and Amanda Serrano will fight. But up next, more heavyweight chat. We are going to hear from Anthony Joshua's coach, Ben Davison, and what he's had to say about Francis Ngannou. Welcome back. You're listening to Final Extra on TalkSport 2. Adi Oladipo, the great Gareth A. Davis. Gareth was lucky enough to catch up with Ben Davison, Anthony Joshua's new trainer. Obviously, Anthony Joshua was with Derek James prior to this fight, his last fight with Otto Von, and he's now with Ben Davison and Lee Wiley in the team. And this is what Ben Davison had to say in the build-up to Anthony Joshua versus Francis Ngannou.
Well, we're not going to give away how we're going to go about the fight.
Right.
This is the thing, he's very versatile. He's very versatile. And that's something that we're working on.
Having that 30 minutes of data on really Francis, is it? Talk to me about that.
Yeah, it's an advantage because we've got a chance to have a look. Not to say that we know that he's going to go about the fight the exact same way, but I do think if he's more aggressive, Anthony Joshua is a fantastic counterpuncher. I think if he's more aggressive, there's a chance he gets clipped quite early.
My instinct is he'll box in exactly the same way as he did against Tyson, or try to.
Yeah, that
set himself, be patient, exactly. Try and punch with him.
The patience is what made him difficult for Tyson.
Switch a little bit.
The patience is what made it difficult for Tyson because we didn't expect a non-boxer to show that level of composure and patience. Mm. So those are the things that we've got to be prepared for.
Talk to me about Ngannou and what you've seen in him then.
I think his story tells you a lot about his character, his mentality, his determination. He's obviously an absolute physical specimen. And I think he's riding high, and I don't think he got carried away with the Tyson Fury performance. I think he still worked hard. You know, it's obviously his biggest payday, but he's not got carried away. You know, I know that he's preparing diligently, and you know, he's got a career in boxing. He's got a career in boxing, but it's our job to make sure that he's going to have to start a bit further down the pecking order.
Ben Davison there with yourself, Gareth. Gareth, where can we hear the full interview? Is it going to be on your YouTube channel? Or?
Yeah, it will be.
Yeah?
It will be, but at the moment, I'm saving it for pieces for the weekend, really, to be fair, because Ben gave me a very in-depth interview about his relationship with Anthony Joshua, but also, it'll be on my own YouTube channel, but it'll be in the Telegraph. I mean, the snippet's going to be on TalkSport as well. Mm. But I thought it was fascinating that he's really, really worked very closely with Joshua and got to understand him very quickly.
Yeah.
And I'm not being unkind to Derek James here, but I don't know if we got to hear that from Derek James about his relationship with Anthony Joshua.
No, I agree. I agree, by the way. And that's why, amongst other things, that Anthony Joshua is now with Ben Davison. And again, no disrespect to Derek James whatsoever. He's trained some fantastic fighters, but sometimes you need that fit. Sometimes you need to get in sync with a trainer. And AJ's obviously got in sync with Ben very, very quickly. A lot of respect, I think it's fair to say, he's thrown Francis Ngannou's way. Obviously, didn't really want to reveal the sparring partners. Obviously, we know David Adelaide's there, Thomas Partey's there as well, but that's kind of it. He didn't want to tell you anymore. And I don't mind it. Keep those secrets, right? You don't want to give everything away. And even the tactics. What I did like, what he did say about AJ, though, was that AJ is a guy that can now adjust now, right? So whatever Francis is doing, I think they've kind of got a plan for whatever Francis comes. If it's going to be the Francis that fought on the back foot a bit and Francis that was very patient against Tyson Fury, or Francis that's going to be aggressive.
Yeah, I think two things stood out when Ben was talking about Joshua was coachability and versatility. Mm. And I said, what do you mean by coachability? He said, the debate back and forth and the agreement on things. You don't always have to agree with a boxer when you get together about exactly what they should be doing. But as you work through, you need a game plan together and you need a strategy together and you need it to work together. And he said, AJ is totally that, so coachable, which is really pleasing to hear. And I've always thought that about him. He's also said about him that he's completely and utterly dedicated, there early, never late, last in the gym, works really hard, totally into it, loves it. Everybody loves being around him as well there. And talk to any of them, Lee Wood, Carty, Congo, the twins.
My brain is fried as
the
well.
McCormack twins.
Okay, yeah,
McCormack
yeah.
Twins. They'll get me for that. They'll get me for that. Who are both very talented as well. They just love having AJ around. And I think he really enjoys being with the boys. He doesn't get any special treatment there. They're tucked away in a little industrial estate in Harlow, which is, there's no glamour there. Little kind of cafe next door. Fantastic.
I wonder if it reminds AJ of sort of Team GB times. Obviously, that time with Rob McCracken when a lot of the Team GB boys were there, and I just kind of
Some of them were.
Yeah,
some of those were.
Exactly.
The McCormacks were there with him in that time. So, I think it does. I think it does, Addy. But they had, remember, nutritionists, sports scientists, analysts, lighting, dimmed lighting, sweat monitors, echo chambers, altitude rings there. I mean, altitude sparring is that it is the most technical place in the world. I think it's more he's in a great atmosphere and the boys are all there and he has Thursdays off, I think, but he's there the rest of the time. I've got so much time for Ben Davison. You know, I was saying to him, because I know that he likes to get his fighters to study Sun Tzu, the art of war, and to look at phrases that help analyze where we're going in life. And AJ really likes that kind of thing. He likes a watchword or a catchphrase and something to focus in on. I think if these guys continue to be successful, I don't see him changing from Ben Davison. The big problem for Ben, and he still won't answer it, is if Fury and AJ end up fighting each other, is he going to be able to be in the corner for AJ against his old mate Fury? Well, that's what I say.
Yeah.
But, you know, and that's what I say to him. It's a bloody sport, you know? It's not life and death. It's a bloody sport. It's a competition.
Yeah.
Why couldn't you be in the corner again? It's an amazing storyline, though.
Yeah, and you'll be in the corner for an undisputed heavyweight title fight, potentially. I mean, it'll be very, very difficult to say no to that, regardless of again, the friendship between him and Fury. When you look at Ben, and I want to talk about sort of the respect Devin Haney sort of showed him on MMA Owl with Ariel Helwani. But when you look at Ben, is he sort of the new breed of boxing trainer? One that is very analytical, one that kind of breaks film down? Or have we seen this before, but this is now sort of 2.0, if you like?
Well, look, he loves boxing and he boxed himself. And that doesn't mean anything, by the way. And Ben says that to me himself often. You don't need to be a boxer to be a great trainer. He's an admirer in the past of people like Eddie Futch, who's one of the great, great trainers. And Eddie Reynoso as well, who I think is one of the great, great, great trainers in the world right now. Look what he's done with Canelo. I was saying this on an interview earlier this morning as well that I was doing. People don't give Canelo the respect he deserves or Eddie Reynoso the respect
he deserves.
You
don't think so? You don't think people give Canelo the respect?
I think they overlook how great he is. because people take, when people are successful in the public eye for a long time, they get taken for granted, and it really happens in boxing. Ben is a really clever student of the game. He's got a great guy in analyst Lee Wiley.
Fantastic.
Who he works very closely with. He loves it. He really cares about his fighters. He has an honesty about him. And he's always learning. And he believes in himself. And, you know, Ben and I have had a good relationship for a long time now. I mean, you know, I first met him when Tyson Fury was 28 stone out in Marbella. And I went for a run with him, Billy Joe Saunders, and Tyson Fury, 6 mile run on the beach. I was probably about 17 stone at the time. But Tyson was 27, 28 stone at the time. I met Ben, spent a few days around him, and I just thought, wow, this guy, very wise old head on young shoulders, you know. And I still see him like that. And I think he does a fantastic job. And like you say, Devin Haney, he's worked with two undisputed champions, two unified heavyweight champions. You know, like you say, people like Devin Haney rely. He just happened to start talking to Devin Haney in Vegas. And they were fascinated, and Bill Haney wanted him to come and work with him. It's great. It's absolutely terrific.
I think it was really good for Devin just to, because a lot of people maybe think that relationship is done, doesn't exist because we don't see Ben in the corner. Obviously, Ben at the moment, and Devin mentioned it, obviously having issues getting into the States. But he always says that he sends Ben all his sparring, sends Ben everything he does, and they break it down and then kind of send advice back. So he's definitely a part of the Devin Haney team. And I think he needs to get his plaudits for that. So it was really good for Devin to mention that. All right, you're listening to Fight Night Extra on TalkSport 2. Next up, we're going to talk Canelo Alvarez, the Mexican superstar, is at somewhat of a crossroads.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, to get 30, to get 20, 20, 20, to get 20, 20, to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Ahead of his usual fight date on Cinco de Mayo. Welcome back. You're listening to Fight Night Extra on TalkSport 2 with myself, Adi Oladipo, and the great Gareth A. Davis. It has been a very interesting last couple of weeks with Mexican great pound-for-pound superstar, the undisputed super middleweight champion, Canelo Alvarez. We all await what's going to happen with Canelo every September and May, because one thing about Canelo is he guarantees you two fights, unlike many, many superstars in the sport right now. I guess the question is, Gareth, it isn't just a case of who is he going to fight, and we'll talk about the options. It's a case of what broadcaster is going to broadcast the fight and what promoter is going to promote the fight now. What's the latest with Canelo? What can you tell us?
Well, it's a very complicated moment,
yes,
actually. Because I understand that he had one more fight left on his deal with the PBC. So how that operates, I don't know. Does it mean it also, if it goes out on DAZN, does it also go out on Amazon Prime as well, with whom Al Haymon and the PBC now have a deal? Obviously, we're going to see that event with Tim Sue and Keith Thurman and all those guys coming up soon, March 30th.
Yes.
The launch, one of the biggest subscription platforms in the world, by the way. Now, 30 million Mexicans stop and put whatever they're doing down whenever he fights. So we know he's the world's most watched boxer. He's got massive canonical control of his own career. And we've seen that for a long time now. And I was looking back, Addy, I think Eddie did from, was it the Daniel Jacobs fight onwards with him?
Yes.
Was it six fights?
I think Eddie's done six or seven. Yeah, but six or seven, yeah.
I mean, their relationship was always fantastic. Mm. Eddie played the game very carefully with them. I thought he did a great job with him. I think there were four fights in 11 months at one point in that run as well. Mm. It was clearly a very successful one. But Canelo, in this stage of his career, whatever it is, 60 fights, 65 coming up, he's still only 33. I think there's going to be some complex commercial and business contractual law stuff to go on with Al Haymon, PBC and him. It wouldn't surprise me to see it go to DAZN. Obviously, it's going to go to the Mexican channels, the ones that he wants to go to, the one that he's on. The biggest issue for me is he really going to fight Belanga now that Belanga won last weekend? Because he seems to be in the frame. Edgar Belanga seems to be in the frame now. And it's not a fight that you and I want. You know, if it's going on to DAZN, I don't want to get into trouble, but Belanga is Eddie Hearn's guy, and it may be an easy route right now, or it might be a Munguia fight right now, a Jaime Munguia fight. I don't think it's a Jamal Charlo fight because it's not PBC now. But let's be honest, we want, in this order, David Benavidez, I do, Terence Crawford, mm-hmm. and Jaime Munguia. Those are the three, aren't they?
Yeah, 100%, 100%. And I completely agree with you with regards to Edgar Belanga, obviously coming off a win against Paddy McCrory on the weekend. You don't go beat McCrory and then jump into the Canelo hot seat. I'm sorry, there's a couple more things you need to do first. Doesn't work like that. I know Eddie will put his promoter hat on and say, oh, he's the next best super middleweight. I get it. Eddie's got to play the game. But for me, having watched the sport as long as I have and you haven't watched your sport, you know that Belanga right now isn't or shouldn't be in the Canelo sweepstakes. It doesn't look like it's going to be David Benavidez and it doesn't look like it's going to be Terence Crawford. So it does seem to be. And if we are talking about Canelo potentially going back to DAZN, the obvious one is, as you mentioned, Munguia. Jaime Munguia, obviously a golden boy fighter coming off that win against John Ryder.
44-0 or whatever he is.
Yeah, 40. Well. Yeah.
And a very strong fighter. He's capable of beating Canelo, by the way.
This is
he's capable of beating Canelo.
He's hungry, he's young, he's fresh, he's strong. He's big at the weight as well.
He's a knockout artist as well.
And I think it could sell. I think and that's, I guess, the thing with Canelo. Like, we hear about this $35 million guarantee. I mean, if you are going to guarantee him that money, you got to hope that it does over 600,000 pay-per-view buys for everyone to kind of eat, if you like. And I don't know if Belanga does that. Benavidez certainly does, and Crawford certainly does. But from a golden boy DAZN standpoint, I'm guessing Munguia is really the only name you can chuck at him.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, you're on the money. I hope it's Munguia. Mm. Because I won't be satisfied with Edgar Belanga because I think he beats him handily.
Yeah.
I don't want to do any disservice to Edgar Belanga in that sense. He had a great victory last weekend.
He did, but you've got to do a bit more work.
Yeah. It's not the fight we want from the kingpin of boxing from Guadalajara, Jalisco, Mexico, outside the heavyweights, of course. But I just wonder, you know. Just give me your opinion on this because I've been rolling. It's been rolling around in my mind.
Go on.
So does he just want another rollover win? Because if Bivol beats Beterbiev, is Canelo with Eddie, now DAZN are there ensconced with the Saudi Arabian movement with Queensbury and all of that as well, and the tripartite broadcasting, the triple casts as we're now getting everywhere. Mm. Is he eyeing a fight later on at the beginning of the Riyadh season. Imagine Canelo versus Beterbiev, Canelo versus Bivol to open the Riyadh season. Yeah, something different in 2024.
And you'd be looking at undisputed at super middleweight versus undisputed at light heavy.
Do we not love that?
Oh, take my money now.
Yeah.
Take everything.
We can fly in 30,000 Mexicans.
I'd be scared for Canelo against Beterbiev.
I wouldn't.
Bivol, more of a boxing match. I'd be frightened. Okay, let's play a game then. In order of fantasy fights you'd love for Canelo.
Does Canelo stop Anthony Yard?
Stop him. Beat him, yes.
Does he stop him late?
Yes, I think he probably does.
So that he goes in an amazing fight with Beterbiev.
Okay. Oh, I've just realised what you've done there. Okay, I've just realised what you've done. I was like, where are we going? And you've gone there. Look at you. All right, then. If you could watch one, just the one, Crawford jumping up, which is a lot of weight, but Crawford jumping up.
No, Canelo, Beterbiev.
Beterbiev or Benavidez.
Oh, I think Canelo and Beterbiev is as good as Canelo and Benavidez.
So, wait, one second. You're ruling out my guy Bivol here? Is Bivol...
I'm not ruling him out. I mean, what I'm saying is mm-hmm. that my train of thought here, my rolling, you know, out of gear, pulling it back into gear, just slowing down as I get to the
playing promoter, if you had that magic...
Always playing promoter. Always.
Isn't Canelo too small for him?
Because it is the key. Here's why I'm always playing promoter. Because if we're thinking it, believe me, they're thinking it.
Isn't Canelo really too small? I mean, you've been around him. Canelo should be 160. Beterbiev looks like he could be a cruiserweight.
But that's why he's a great. No, but Beterbiev doesn't. When I'm around Beterbiev, I feel like he's the same size as me.
Yeah, but I mean, you've heard His Excellency saying he wants to see Beterbiev or the winner fight Jair Pitaya.
Yeah, but that could happen as well.
There's so many fights to be made.
But I just think there's a highway and there's an exit that takes Canelo into the winner of Bivol and Beterbiev, whoever it is.
Okay, so who does Canelo...
So you still get the undisputed, as you just said, super middleweight champion. So he fights Edgar Belanga for now. Or he beats Munguia.
No, Munguia. It's got to be Munguia, surely.
Even though
Oscar De La Hoya was on Ariel Helwani's show and he's like, he didn't seem too interested, but then that's promoters maybe making us look one way than announcing something the other way. Oh, I enjoyed that.
We need to get texting Eddie, that's all. We'll get some
facts and figures for you guys.
We're going to see him out in Riyadh from Sunday to Saturday anyway. It's a Friday night event, remember, everybody?
Yes, it is
a Friday night event for Joshua Ngannou.
Yeah. All right, you're listening to Fight Night Extra on TalkSport 2. Next up, we're going to discuss this weekend's fights. We're also going to hear from Chantel Cameron as well. Welcome back to Fight Night Extra on TalkSport 2. Myself, Adi Oladipo, nearly forgot my name, and the great Gareth A. Davis.
That's when you know you're having a good time.
That's when you're having fun. Gareth, this Jake Paul versus Ryan Borland fight. Look, I'm a big fan of what Jake Paul's doing. I love it. I just wonder if it's working. And what I mean by that is, like, Jake Paul has a certain fan base. Although that fan base has grown wider, he has a certain fan base of influencers and YouTubers that have followed him, right? I used to, you know, work on the Misfits. I can kind of see the fans that like what Jake Paul is doing. I don't know if those fans, and look, Jake Paul's a big asset, but I don't know if those fans are going to run around Jake Paul when he's fighting guys they don't know, like Ryan Borland. I don't know. And again, I get what he's doing. He wants to be a real boxer, legit boxer, and eventually climb the ladder to where he wants to do is fight a world title. I just wonder if he might start losing the fan base he's built up as he takes on these guys that no one knows.
Yeah, I mean, the problem with this latest guy, you know, who, yeah, he's tall. He was a cruiserweight. Mm. Well, he is a cruiserweight, Ryan Borland. But you look at his opponents in his last kind of 5-6 fights.
Yeah.
The only decent opponent, Jose Hernandez, he lost to. Mm. And then you've got... he did avenge the defeat, but Santiago Martin, 4-6. Kodale Ford, or Codel Ford, 5-7. Alfredo Contreras, 13-20-2. Alfredo Contreras, again, 13-19-2. He hasn't really been operating on any level. And Jake Paul will just knock him out. And he'll just, you know, get a spectacular viral video for his fans. He's just treading water. He's had a very quiet time, really, in lots of ways, since the win over... over Tommy Fury, and yeah. I think
I thought Nate Diaz after, which was, it got the public interested a little bit.
Yeah, no, but Nate Diaz is a washed up MMA, not washed up. He's a very, very aged MMA fighter. And look, I hate to say it out loud again, but look what he did against Anderson Silva, one of the greatest strikers of all time in mixed martial arts. Jake Paul, can I say this out loud? He put him down. Yeah,
say that. We've said worse things on this show.
Down, yeah, he put him down. It just doesn't sound right. Jake put Anderson Silva down. And I'm not saying I don't admire Jake Paul, because I do in many ways for what he's trying to do. But like you say, he's just playing to his audience at the moment. And
what's the
There'll be an IBO cruiserweight title at some point.
You think he'll get to that?
Oh, I think he's got that kind of destiny in him. He's got that kind of destiny in him in the same way. You'll balk at me here now that Francis Ngannou may have the destiny in him to be a heavyweight boxing world champion, because when people are so determined and so driven, Jake Paul's in love with the boxing life.
Yeah,
he's dedicated to it, not like Logan Paul. And it wouldn't surprise me to see Jake Paul go into MMA properly at some point as well.
I just think, and look, we're all in search of big fights, right? And Jake Paul certainly is that. I just think we're missing the boat here on what would have been a stadium fight between him and KSI. And I think he's now further afield of that, because as you say, he's now fully committed into the sport. But I'm like, why did they just not make that fight? Like that fight.
Well, he should. I think he will. No, that's a very good call. I think he will make that fight eventually, because boxing's turned a corner recently.
Mm.
It's the best half year. I don't know if I've said it to you on any of the previous last two shows.
You said it last week.
Yeah. Did I rattle on about 1910 and 1921 and 1970?
You certainly didn't do that.
No, but 1910, the first African American heavyweight champion, Jack Johnson. Mm. 1921, the first $1 million gate, George Carpentier and Jack Dempsey. The 70s, 71, 74, 75, with Ali, Frazier, and Foreman. The 1980, the Four Kings emerging, Hagler, Hearns, Duran, and Leonard. This is one of those years where boxing's upsurge is so extraordinary. It's dominating the MMA world at the moment, in my view. Boxing is so much bigger because all these fights are being made. Mm. It doesn't matter that it's dominating the MMA world, but I'm just saying it because we've talked about MMA as well today. Look what's happened with Ngannou. Look what's happened over in Saudi with John Jones there at the weekend. He's a UFC standout. Conor McGregor's there all the time. Mm. They're around these boxing events and MMA events there. I just think there was a moment where the Misfits and the YouTuber fighting was gaining traction with a young crowd, and it still is, but with boxing slightly in the doldrums, with not a great wind in its sail.
Fair.
But that's changed in the last 5 to 6 months. And we do go peaks and troughs in boxing, huge ones and small ones as well. So your point about him missing the boat is very valid to me. And I think you're right. I think there's going to come a realization, and KSI's got better as well. It's going to come a realization that these two guys really should meet in a ring. In a giant stadium. Sell out Wembley.
Yeah. Oh, immediately.
Would we go?
I'd certainly go.
I'm there. I want to be involved in the commentary.
I want to work on it. Yeah, I want to work on it. I don't just want to go as a fan.
There you go, my brother.
I want to earn a couple of quid on that event. Look, before we hear from Chantel Cameron, obviously, quick word on Amanda Serrano. Back in Puerto Rico, she takes on Nina Minka this weekend. Serrano, hopefully, after this one, and this is not no disrespect to Nina Minka at all. It could be a good fight. But I'm wanting her to be in another super fight next, hopefully. Whether that be Alicia Baumgardner, whether it be Katie Taylor, Chantel Cameron, maybe even the winner of Sandy Ryan, Terry Harper. I know she's a bit undersized, but I want another super fight for her next.
Yeah, I think she's got to fight Taylor. Mm. Get through this, wait for Taylor. Do it late in the summer. These ladies seem to recover really quickly. Nina Minka, don't write her off, by the way.
No, not doing it. Not doing it.
She's a very formidable fighter. Yeah. She's on a good run at the moment.
I'll tell you this though now, she ain't beating Serrano in Puerto Rico.
Well, you'll have your special trainers on the night as well that she bought for you, and I will definitely be watching her because I am a huge fan of Amanda Serrano. As you know, I think she may be, in pure terms, the best female boxer on the planet.
You have said that, and I've said 1A, 1B between her and Clarissa. And 1C could be Katie Taylor, who looks like Wolf. She will fight Chantel Cameron again in May. You and Adam Cattrall was in. Adam, with you in the studio?
Yes, indeed.
It was Adam. You both caught up with Chantel Cameron on the weekend. This is what she had to say.
No, nothing as of yet. I also got told about May the 25th. Katie booked into Box of the Free Arena, but it's not confirmed that it's me yet. I really want it to be me, and I think Katie would want to be fighting me as well to get the trilogy on, but it isn't confirmed.
Chantel Cameron, we spoke about her last weekend, Gareth, when we heard about the split between her, Jamie Moore, and Nigel Travis. We were both like umming and ahhing as to who she could be with next. She is with Dalton Smith's dad, Grant Smith. She's moved to that camp, which is a bit of a surprise for some. Again, no disrespect to Grant Smith, but I didn't see this one coming. I didn't see the fit, but sometimes you go over, you know, you go to someone, you hit the pads a bit, you get a connection, you say, okay, this is the person for me.
Yeah, well, that's what she said. Obviously, it broke just after our show last week because we discussed it, but we weren't able to elucidate on who the new trainer was at the time. I think Grant is a very, very fine trainer. I think that the Edwards brothers, Sonny and Charlie, talk about that. Dalton Smith, his son, has come through very, very well. Junaid Boston is there in the team. Yeah. It's a really good camp. And they always talk great things. And as she said, as Chantel said, you know, the fit felt good. She really liked it there. It's slightly less of a travel from Northampton to Sheffield. And she felt like the time was right, that she's still close to Jamie Moore and Nigel Travers. But that marriage has come to an end.
It wasn't
a divorce. It was just an ending of the relationship.
It certainly happens. Final one. When do you fly out to Saudi?
In about 24 hours.
Really? You're going early? Yeah. You're going pretty early.
I'm going early. I'm going to do an event for DAZN in Dubai, first of all, in Abu Dhabi.
Yeah.
So I'm going to Dubai tomorrow. Yeah. And then I'm doing an event at the weekend, Rising Arabian Stars, for, I think it's on DAZN at the weekend. So,
great stuff. I fly out on Saturday evening, so I'll see you there.
See you Sunday morning in Riyadh.
Let's go get breakfast, let's get a meal, and let's talk about how we're going to do this show from Saudi somehow, next week, Tuesday somehow. I don't know, but we'll do something. We'll get it done.
Sounds good to me.
Top man. Cheers, Gareth.
Cheers.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.